You're listening to another great Torah class, recorded by TorahAnytime.com.
Shut Kvod HaRav Shlita, Shut Kol HaKol. We get together 72 hours into a new year, 72 hours that we spent in a different world. The halacha is if somebody doesn't talk to somebody for 3 days, he can't be a edut because he's called a soneh. Maybe all of us in these 3 days separated ourselves from the Yetzer Hara. Nobody on Rosh Hashanah has anything to do with him. So we have 3 days of separation, so he became a sonev from us because we didn't talk to him for 3 days. So the biggest bracha I can give you is that we keep it up. That he stays to be our sonev, and he doesn't talk to us and he doesn't have nothing to do with us. We keep the inspiration of the 3 days that we had, we keep it with us. We build on it to grow further and further. Let us try to understand a few simple nekudot. In Shari Tshuva, from Rabbeinu Yonah, he tells us in the beginning the following. That there were people in a prison, and someone came and opened the doors of the prison and said, whoever wants could leave. And everybody left and one person stayed there. And then the king came and said, why'd you stay? Everybody left. Why didn't you run away also? And he punished him for staying there. And the nimshal is, that comes the week, the time that we are able to do tshuva. Till now we were in prison. Everybody runs away. Why do you stay in prison? I don't understand what he's trying to bring out, first of all. And I don't understand, is there a person that the doors of the prison will open and he won't leave? I think every person, the most silly, even a silly person, if he'll see the doors are open and everybody's running out, nobody will stay there. Is there such a person? How do we understand this? What is he trying to tell us? And what is he trying to teach us? And what are we supposed to learn from such a mashal? Secondly, we stand here tonight, a day after, 2 days after hearing the shofar. What is the message that we are supposed to take with us? Why is the mitzvah a mitzvah of hearing? Why isn't there a mitzvah for us to blow the shofar? We make a bracha l'shmoa kol shofar. Why do we make a bracha l'shmoa? When we make a bracha on tefillin, we make a bracha lahaniach tefillin. Every bracha we make on doing something. We make a bracha on nerot, we make a bracha lahadlik nerot. Why do we make a bracha litkoa shofar? Why on hearing? Let's try to understand what the message is. The Torah Kedosha, there is a Parsha, the following. A person sold himself for 6 years to be a slave. In these 6 years, his master gave him a shivcha. Because that's the halacha, he's allowed to live with a shivcha. And he had children. The children are not his, the children are the shivcha's children. After 6 years, he says, Ahavti et ad. I don't want to leave. What's the halacha? You take him to the door you make a hole in his ear, and you say to him, you didn't hear in Sinai that you're not supposed to have another Adon, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to sell yourself for another, for more time? And he stays for another 40 years, another 44 years, till Yovel. What does it mean that he didn't hear? What didn't he hear? Which Adon did he take? We're talking about the master that he sold himself to. Is that who we're talking about? I saw a Dova Nifla from the altar of Kelim. The Adon is not the person. The Adon is his own Yetzer Hara that he's listening to. The Adon that he's listening to, we are not talking about anything else, we're talking about the Adon. He took upon himself somebody to listen to, a Yetzer Hara, that's telling him to live with a Shivcha, that's telling him to do things that he shouldn't do. That's the Adon that he sold himself for. A person heard in Sinai, Onochi Hashem Elokecha. He heard that every single person is connected to Hashem. He went and veered. That's the Adon that he took upon himself. If we realize that, let us realize a little bit more. Is this person really think that it's better for him? The Torah Kedosha says that he says, Ahavti et Adoni, I like the way I am. You know what that means? The Svat Emet opens up our eyes. He tells us that he could be a better Oved Hashem in this matzav. He says, I have all that I need. I'm being supported. I go in the morning, I have a shiur. I go to daven in the morning. I go to daven at night. I do everything I have to do. I'm very comfortable where I am. It could even be that the pasuk means Ahavti et Adoni, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'm in a very good matzav. The Torah Kedoshah says that there were Jews that went out of Mitzrayim that said, let us go back. How do we understand that there were such Rishayim? They wanted to go back when Avdat Mitzrayim? You really think that they was had such a Rishayim that they, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, took them out with such Nisim? And they said, no, we want to go back to Mitzrayim. Why do they want to go back to Mitzrayim? You know why? Because the propaganda in Mitzrayim was so strong. And they lived in such a world of dimion, of fantasy, that they were more of the Hashem in Mitzrayim and easier of the Hashem in Mitzrayim than they were in the Midbar. In Mitzrayim, they had all that they needed. Mitzrayim is called the Gan Hashem. And here in the Midbar, they find it hard. Let's go back there. The more I speak, the more I'm telling you, these Mishalim, we could all associate with it. Every single person has a certain tendency not to want to change his matzav, not to want to grow. I'm happy the way I am. I learn Torah. I do mitzvot. Who said I have to push myself higher? It's very good in the matzav that I am now. The person bought has to always want to grow. Person always has to want to grow. Even if for him it's not better. Because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. To go up another step. To
to go up another step, to go up another step, to pick ourselves up. Shmi'a, hearing, means to want to hear more. When we were in, by Matan Torah, we told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Naseh V'nishma. What does it mean, Naseh V'nishma? I'm ready to do, but I want to hear more. Tell me more. I want to grow. The more you tell me, the happier I will be. That's the mitzvah of Shmiat HaShofar. The mitzvah of Shofar is to become somebody that hears, that wants to hear, that wants to hear more, that wants to continue to grow, that wants to take upon himself more, that doesn't want to be happy the way he is. He wants to elevate himself, he wants to hear more, and he wants to know more, and he wants to grow and elevate himself to a higher level, and tell me more, I want to know more about Yiddishkeit, I want to know more what Hashem wants for me. The more that I know, the more I'm happy I am, because I'm getting closer to Hashem. Now we will understand what the Sharei Tshuva is telling us. Who in the world wants to stay in prison? The person who doesn't realize that he's in prison. The person, before he went to prison, didn't have food. Before he went to prison, he didn't have clothes. He came to prison, they gave him clothes, they gave him 3 times a day food. He doesn't realize he's in prison, he's doing everything that he has to do. The doors are open, everybody's leaving. I don't want to leave, it's good over here. So the Sharei Tshuva is waking us up. You know why we don't do tshuva when it comes to Aseret Yemei Tshuva? Because we're happy the way we are. We don't realize that we have to run away from where we are and run to a different place. And it's not good the way we are. And that's why we don't do tshuva more than we do. Only a little bit, but we don't pick ourselves up to become above and yet more and yet more and yet more and more and more and more and more. Because we're happy where we are. The American propaganda of democracy doesn't let us throw ourselves to be subjugated to Hashem. The more we live a life of democracy, what does democracy mean? Whatever I want, I do. Nobody can tell me no. Nobody could control me. And if I want to be good, it's because I want to be good, right? Not because somebody's going to tell me to be good. Yiddishkeit, the Torah says, I'm good because Hashem tells me to be good. So democracy and Yiddishkeit are two different paths. They crash. And the more we become influenced from democracy, the more the Kabbalat Ol, to take upon ourselves Shibut, to become subjugated to the Torah, becomes harder and harder. And even if we do listen, and even if we do good, it's only because I want to do good. Not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling me to be good, it's because I want to be good. And that's not what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rosh Hashanah is about Kabbalat Ol. Kabbalat Ol means taking upon ourselves the yoke, being Mishubat, being subjugated. The greatest thing that a person can do, the greatest thing that a person can do is not doing good, but taking upon himself the yoke that is going to do good. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us in Parashat Bahar, if you take an axe, the strongest axe, and you won't put on him a yoke, and you want him to take the plow and plow a field, he's not going to do a good job. The minute you put on him the yoke, then he's under you. Then you'll know for sure that he's going to be a good worker. The Nimshal is so simple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us more important than doing the work, He wants for us to take upon us the yoke, the shibut. But we have to remember that we can't look at it as being a shibut. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Chaf Chet Amud Aleph, Mitzvot Lav Lehonot Nitnu. Mitzvot were not given for your enjoyment. Rashi HaKadosh tells us, what were they given? Lo'ol, for a yoke, al tzevarehem, on their necks. I heard from a big tzaddik, something special. Where does a person wear a yoke? On his neck or on his shoulder? Where does the ol go? On the shoulder an ol goes. What does the person wear on the neck? Jewelry he wears on his neck. A Jew carries the yoke on his neck because that's his jewelry. That's his tachshit. Lo'ol al tzavareihem nitnu. You carry it on the tzavar, not on the shoulder. You carry it around on your neck because that's your necklace, that's your jewelry, that's your diamonds. Because you're proud with it, you're happy with it. That's why Ezra writes on Rosh Hashanah, Chedvat Hashem imu uschem, on Rosh Hashanah, on the day of Kabbalat Ol. But it should be with Chedvat Hashem, you should be happy that you're taking that Ol. You should be excited taking that Ol. You're becoming an Eved of Melech Malchei HaMelachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you do something in that way, when you realize that taking upon yourself the ol is an exciting thing, then it stays with you. It's not something you want to throw off from yourself. It's something you want to keep with yourself. You want to continue. You want to take that ol and continue with it. You don't want to get rid of it. So as we gather here tonight, after 3 days of tefillah, 3 days of avodah, let us ask a very simple question. All of you know how people lived 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Tzadikim, a different world. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring us here and expose us to the world that we are exposed to the trials and tribulations that we are exposed to? What does He want from us? I was going to say the Rasha today, said once, I was going to a second time, I had to go to my house for a minute, a half a block down the street. I walked out of the Medrash, I ran right back in. I couldn't be metameh my eyes. The chutzpah, people walk the streets today. Why did He bring us to such a world? A world that pulls us down. You probably all heard from me already, why there's gravity in the world. Why is there gravity in the world? Why can't a person just fly around? You know why there's gravity in the world? To teach you that this world of Gashmiut pulls you down. Doesn't let you pick yourself up. But so bad, why do we have to be in such a bad world? I will tell you why. I think I know why. Because 100 years ago, all of our grandparents, wherever they lived subjugated to a king, subjugated to a nation, to a government, under pressure, and knew what Ol Malchut meant. There was nobody that lived 100 years ago in any country of the world that didn't know what Ol Malchut meant, even in America with democracy. So, taking upon yourself Malchut Shamayim wasn't such a big thing. Why not? Because you lived with that kind of mentality. You lived the mentality of a slave. You lived the mentality of being bending your head to a government. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us a schut that no new generation had. You're a free person. You can do whatever you want. And in this free world, in the last 3 days, thousands of people said, "We want a king." Could you imagine that? In a world where kingdom doesn't exist, in a world where a king doesn't exist, and listening to a king doesn't exist, and monarchy doesn't exist, and dictatorship almost doesn't exist, people should get up together and blow a shofar and say, "We want you to be our king, to dictate what we do, to dictate how we go dressed, to dictate how we talk, to dictate how we walk, to dictate everything that we do from when we get up to when we go to sleep, and from when we go to sleep to when we get up in the morning. We are dictated 24/7. And we did it with simcha. Do you know what a schut that is for Klal Yisrael that never existed? Because there never existed a world like today of such freedom, of such anti-monarchy, anti-dictatorship. I still remember when one of the presidents of the United States said why he's going into Afghanistan to fight the people in Afghanistan, the Taliban. You know why? Because they don't let the woman go dressed the way they want. Because they don't have an ability to listen to the music they want. You hear why we're fighting a war? Can you imagine why a president of the United States fought a war? Why? Because there's a country that doesn't let people do what they want. You know what the greatest barach was? That we living here thought he was right. But we woke up and we see how we're going down, down. Without morality, without control, the world goes at a fast speed down the mountain. Without control, it's going out of control completely. Where does this come from? I was a child. I grew up in my father's zecher and avracha. It's a big gadol b'Israel. I still remember, I didn't understand it then, but I stand it today. I was 7 years old, and he said by the supper table at night that America lost its morality today. And there will come a time in America when people are going to walk the streets without clothes. Because the President of the United States had an operation, and he uncovered his stomach for the press to take a picture of it. And he said, then America lost its morality. He had to be a gadol to be able to see where it's going. I was a child, it didn't make sense to me. Today I understand it. You have to realize where we're heading to. But back to our schut. Back to who we are. Back to what in Shamayim, what Shamayim looked down on the world and saw a world that everybody does what they want. And over the whole world, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Jews came from the morning till late in the day to do what? To be mekabel melech, to take upon ourselves the king. Do you realize the schut that we have? But our avodah is cut out for us. A very hard avodah to keep it up. To keep up that acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our king, as one who controls our life. And do it b'simcha. Because let me tell you that Hagaon HaGadol Rav Moshe Feinstein Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha asked a simple question. 70, 80 years ago in America, maybe more, 90 years ago in America, when people came from wherever they came, from Russia, from Poland, from other nations, they came here and wanted to take a job. They were asked, are you going to work on Shabbat or not? And if they answered they're not going to work on Shabbat, they didn't get a job. And if they took a job and went home on Thursday, on Friday, they got a slip, don't come back. It was in a Sayon. But there were those that kept and lost the job 1 week and the next week and the next week until nobody took them and they went out with push carts. Why didn't the children stay from Eden? Such mesirat nefesh, why didn't it go over to the children? Why Rahman al-Etzlan, a lot of them assimilated. And some of them didn't. What was the difference? And he said something, a pshat in a pasuk. Ubachata b'chayim leman tichye ata v'zarecha. What does that pasuk mean? And he explained it so beautifully. He said there were those who came Friday night to the table and said, oy vey vey, I lost my job because of Shabbos. And those that came to the table Friday night and danced with Simcha, ah, I was able to lose my job because of the Heilige Shabbos. Those that the children saw Simcha and their parents continued in their parents' way. Those who heard their parents kirechts, those who heard their parents say, never, I lost my job. Those left, because they don't want to live a life of Nebuch. So the pasuk tells us, ubachata b'chayim, live with life, with happiness. Leman tichye ata, you should live. But not only you, uzarecha, that you go over to your children. That's how it goes over to children. If we accept Malchut Shamayim with happiness, we show our children how excited we are to be Eden. We realize that doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is something that we do with excitement, then children follow in the way. But if we do it without chiyut, we do it, nah, really I would want to be differently, what should I do? The rabbi tells me to do it this way. Then the child doesn't listen. So when we go away from Rosh Hashanah with Kabbalat Malchut, it has to be with happiness, with excitement. Ah, we have a new king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became our king again. We accepted his Malchut again. I want to tell you something. I'm going veering off the topic. I want to tell you why you will all be zoche mechila if you accept the Rebbeinu Shlom as king. Why is that something that brings mechilat amonot? You all know that when a person is taken to a court, and the court, Rachman al-Etzlan, says he has to be killed, hanged, who could save him? Nobody. One person can save him, a king. The only person that could say, take him down, I don't want him to get killed, is only the king. So where do you see the greatness of a king? Where do you see the greatness of a king? When do you see the greatness of a king? When the person gets killed or the person gets taken down? When the person gets taken down. Listen to what happens. When we accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king, and we are happy with his kingdom, and we want to listen to his kingdom, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'm going to show the world that I'm king. You deserve the following mishpat. That's what the Beis Din says for you. That's what the court dictates for you. But I'm king, I'm going to rip it up. I'm going to give you a good year. The more that we want the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be king, the more he proves the kingdom on the world. And how does he prove the kingdom on the world? He gives you a pardon which only a king could give you, that pardon. That's why Mechilat Avonot and accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king go hand in hand. So now let's get down to earth. There was an article in the New York Times on September 10th. I don't read the Times, and I wouldn't read the Times, I hope not. But somebody brought me a printout from a September 10th article of the Times. And you all have an availability, I think, to get a hold of it. The founder, the inventor of iPod was interviewed, the inventor of Twitter was interviewed, and many other things that I don't even want to repeat their names. All of them said that they do not let their children use the technology that they created. I'm not saying this from anywhere, I'm repeating an article on September 10th in the New York Times. The number one rule in our house, one of them said, is there are no screens in my child's bedroom. Why? Not only because of the content of what this technology gives them, because you become addicted to it. I want to ask you something. Could you imagine the person who created this monster, the person who created the iPad, the person who created Twitter, the person who created all the other apps, says clearly that his child, until the age of 16, can't touch it. And how does he not? How not? Oh, we discuss books every night by the table. They have all the books they want to read. We don't have that problem. We have books all they want for our children. And all the languages that we want. But chas v'chalila to be mishabeach a goy. Because they don't mean it. How do I know they don't mean it? Because in that same article, it says there's an app called Snapchat, which that app is made that nothing can be, after half a minute it gets deleted. So that they let their children have because they won't ruin them later in life because nobody will know what they do. So everything a guy does, he only does for himself. Everything is ready to take him away because maybe it'll kill him later in life. But this nothing will happen with because nobody will know about it. I want you to understand, if a person has whatever I just said, that name of that app, that app is only there for one reason, only for hashchata. Something that could be written, there's no reason it should be deleted in a half a minute. The Gemara says on Rabbi Yossi, Me'olam la'amalti davar v'chazalti la'achorai. Sifrei Musar say it means I never send anything to watch who's listening to me, who's standing behind me. Maybe he shouldn't hear what I say. And if a person has to write a message or send a picture, then in half a minute it has to be deleted. It can only be something that's completely anti-Hashem. So that's the world we live in today. And that's the nisyonot we have today. Why am I telling you this? Because when I'm going to tell you the dangers of technology, you'll think, hey, the naive person doesn't know what he's talking about. So I'm coming here very well learned what technology is. I could tell you what an app that's called WhatsApp is. And I could tell you that's one of the biggest churbanis that there is for our generation. It kills more time and more Judaism and more of everything than anything else. And you all know it's true. You all know that you can fool a person and tell them I have a filter on my smartphone. And I can't see anything on my smartphone. And with WhatsApp, everything can come to me. Because that's not filtered. So you know very, very well what this technology is doing just to be able to, you can't even protect yourself from it. So what is Rosh Hashanah about? Hashanah is making a little bit of, living with a little bit of seichel. I don't know the nusach of al-chet that you say on Yom Kippur. But one of the al-chet that we say by us in Ashkenaz is al-chet shechatanu lefanecha bebli das. Say the same thing. I think it's the only al-chet that we have to say. Because nobody in this room wants to do a chet bedas. Who wants to do a chet bedas? Who wants to go against Hashem? Nobody. But bevlidat, without seichel, without that, that's where all chataim come from. You know what our Kabbalah is tonight? A very simple Kabbalah. We should start thinking. We should live with that, not with bevlidat. We shouldn't have to say al-chet shechatanu lefanecha bevlidat. We should live with that. We should start thinking, what am I doing with myself? What am I doing with my children? What am I doing with my life? If we live with that, the Sfat Emes asks a question by us in Ashkenaz and all the Al-Chet, there's no Bittul Torah. You say Al-Chet Shechetanu B'fanecha B'Bittul Torah? No. Why not? It's the most important thing. How come there's no Al-Chet for Bittul Torah? And he said, there is, bevli dat. Person who learns Torah lives with that. It gives him that, it gives him the right seichel. Chet shetanu lefanecha bevli dat means I live without Torah. Torah doesn't dictate my life. I don't think, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do this? Or does he not want me to do this? Does he want me to go here? Does he not want me to go here? You know what the greatest Bivli Das is? The greatest Bivli Das is that we trust ourselves. All of us know that when a child, a teenager that's daring, goes up on a cliff, that he goes, makes one wrong step, he falls over, all of us screaming at him, don't go. Because we realize going on the edge, when you're going to fall over with one slip, with one wrong step, that's too dangerous. We'll never do that. So why in Yiddishkeit are we ready to do it? Why when it comes to Torah and Mitzvot we're ready to walk on the edge? Why do we dare to walk on the edge and we're not afraid that we'll fall over? It must be that our physical life is greater for us than our spiritual life. When it comes to physical life, we're not ready to fall over on the edge, to go on the edge and take the chance of falling. When it comes to spiritual life, we're ready to go on the edge or maybe halfway off the edge. Let me end with a story. A story that happened 170 years ago. There was a Gadol b'Israel that his name was the Nesivot. He wrote a Sefer HaChoshem Mishpat called Nesivot HaMishpat. Rabbi Yaakov Milisa. He passed away from the world. He left over a daughter, Almana, that had a daughter that she had to marry off herself. She gathered some money and she went with her daughter to a different town to buy the Tzachei Chupa. So she took a person with horses, with a carriage. They went out to the next, to a further far away town. But when did you travel? At night you travel, not by day. The person traveled a long way, traveled at night. The guy that took them knew where they were going. In the middle of the way, he went off the way and took them to his house and prepared their, all his friends. And they took away all their money. They tied them up to throw them into the oven to burn them. Finished. We took away all your money, a lot of money, all the dowry. Her father in Shamayim wanted to save her. As this was going on, a German general opened the door and caught everybody in the middle of the action, and everybody ran away. Left the money on the table that they were in the middle of separating, in the middle of giving out between themselves, and saved the two people. Took them where they had to go. Her father came to her in Chalom, and he asked me, why am I saying, where do I take such a story? How do I know it's true? Because in Lev Eliyahu from Abel Lapian, it says this story. He says who he heard it from. Her father came to Chalom and said, I went up in Shamayim, and I wanted to save you. And they said, no, because you were transgressed the Isur of Yichud. So therefore, they're not going to save you. I went up to a higher place in Shamayim, and I gave away the Zchut of my Sefer from all the people in the world that learned the Sivot HaMishpat, that the Zchut should go for you, and that's how you were saved. But you have to promise me again to watch the Isser of Yichud. I'm not going into halacha now. If Yichud is a deraisa, Yichud is a derabanan. Yichud is based on one very simple nekuda. You know what Yichud is based? On the nekuda that one cannot trust himself. Finished. That's the base of Yichud. Because if you can trust yourself, what's wrong? The Isur of Yichud is an Isur because you can't trust yourself. You all have a rabbi. I want you to think how many she'elot you have in Yichud daily and ask if it's mutar or asur. Because I'm going to give you two mishalim. Two mishalim of Yichud that nobody will ever think that they're Yichud. You have an old woman laying in a house. She's sick, in bed, she can't go off her bed. Are you allowed to leave an attendant with her alone or not? You have an old man in the house, are you allowed to leave a nurse with the person alone or not? Is it Yichud or not? Our dad would say, no, I don't even have to ask that question. But you'll be shocked when you ask that question what the answers to the question are. How many times do we stay late in an office, in a building? That the she'elot of Yichud come up. Why did I pick to say over this story in this Isur? Because this Isur is based on whether you could trust yourself or you can't trust yourself. There's a Gadol be Yisrael, one of the greatest, oldest Gadolim that we have in our generation, that said that if he would be Bekoach, he would say that Yichud with the internet is Asur. Somebody else should be there with you. Why? Because you can't trust yourself. It's a very simple nekuda. I know people that don't go on the internet unless somebody else is there with them, unless their wife is there with them. Now they don't go. The wife has the password. They can't go. Sorry. They can't go without the wife. But the Isser of Yichud is a wake-up call to how we trust ourselves keneged halacha, and how much we have to realize that we can't trust ourselves. The only thing we can do is listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give every single one of you the strength. In the world of Efkerut that we live in, the world of degradation that we live in, the world of anti-Kabbalat Ol, to make that U-turn in life. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in this in Aseret Yemei Tshuva is one thing, not to change completely, but make the U-turn. In which direction you're going, up or down? Let's make the U-turn and go up. Turn up to Hashem. Turn closer to Hashem. Pick ourselves up. One step at a time, another step at a time, another step at a time. If you take big steps, you'll slip. Small steps. I think we once said over Dover Nifla on the Mizbeach. How did the people go up onto the Mizbeach? With a plank. Why? Why not with steps? Because if you go with steps, you could stop in the middle of the way and think you're a sure person. When you're on a plank, you know if you're not going to fight your way up, you're going to slip back. When you're going up to a Mizbeach of Kedusha, you have to realize you're on a steep plank. If you're not going to fight your way up, you're going to slip. You say, well, you're going to slip down. You're never on a sure step in Yiddishkeit. We're very close to the Geula. Very close to the Geula. If we take upon ourselves to go up, to go higher, to go closer to Hashem, we'll all be zochet to see with our own eyes. To see with our own eyes when the Geula comes. I want to end with something that I said over today from a Talmud of the Ramami Pano. Ramami Pano lived 300-400 years ago. He was a big Mekubal. I saw something in a Talmud of his that all of you can associate with. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Yuma that if somebody is Mechalel Shem Shamayim, he has no kapara, only with Misa. Anonesh chamor miot, only Misa. We all have a negiya to Chilul Hashem. You know what Chilul Hashem means? If you do an aveira in front of 10 Jews, the Rambam paskins it's Chilul Hashem. If somebody takes out something that he shouldn't be looking at, and 10 people know he's looking at it, it's Chilul Hashem. 10 people go together into a place that they shouldn't be, every single one of them is Mechalel Shem Shamayim in front of the other 10. When an Isha walks down the street with clothes that expose part of her body that's not supposed to be exposed, she's Mechalel Shem Shamayim. Because everybody knows she's a Jew and everybody knows she's doing an Aveira. So how do we have Kapara? Rachman al-Atzlan only Misa. He says something muridik. If we're not going to get up and dance afterwards, we're missing our gasha. Something that why we have such nisyonot in Shmirat Einayim in our generation. You know why? Because the Gemara says, Suma chashuv kemes. Somebody that's blind is like a dead person. That blind person, Rachman al-Atzlan, can't see, even if he wants to see. And still he's like a dead person. So he says, could you imagine somebody that could see and closes his eyes and doesn't see? That person is surely like Misa. And that's Mechaper Achilul Hashem. A sefer that's called Darkei Atshuva from a Talmud of Rama Mipano. That every time we have a Riyah Asura, and let me just make very, very clear for the Nashim. Riyot Asuraot Asur for a lady just like for a man. The Isur of Los Esuru Achei Levavchem V'Achei Enechem, there is no difference between a man and a lady. They are both the same forbidden. So when we don't, when we are sholet on ourselves, we're in control of ourselves, and we close our eyes not to see what we shouldn't see, that's Misa, that's Mechaper Achilul Hashem. So you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it to this world? Because our neshamot are here for the last time before Mashiach comes. And the biggest avera that there is on the world is Chilul Hashem. So we have to be misaken it. We have to fix it. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He brought us to a world that we could close our eyes 10 times a day, 20 times a day, 30 times a day, and die once and die again and die again and die again and die again and fix all the Chilul Hashem that we had. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you all the strengths to be control of yourself and to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. And do the Ratzon Hashem, and if we do the Ratzon Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the Ratzon that we all want HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do. He should give us what we need. And there's only one thing that we need, the Gula Shleima, because with that everything will come. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be give us that we should all be Zoche to go together the Krat Mashiach Tzidkeinu B'mehera B'yameinu.
Amen.
TorahAnytime.com sends cameras out day and night to video and audio record the best Torah classes around. We then make them available to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Watch, listen to, and download lectures on TorahAnytime.com today.